Welcome to the Synthetic Media Podcast. I'm your host, Henrik DeCuyer. Join me for interviews and thoughts on the ever-expanding topic of synthetic media. You can find my book on synthetic media on Amazon. Subscribe to this podcast for free. Follow us on syntheticmediapodcast.com and enjoy today's episode.
My name is Jack Esselink, and I'm an analytics consultant and an artificial intelligence advisor, and I'm self-employed, and I'm based in the Netherlands. I'm also studying ethics and theology at the Free University in Amsterdam, and I'm doing at this moment a research project around the ethics of deepfakes and synthetic media.
Jack, how are you involved with synthetic media?
I'm a speaker, a public speaker, and a trainer, and I'm always interested in emerging new technology. And what I've seen over the last few years is that synthetic media or deep fakes, and I'll get to a description and a definition in a moment, is really looming, is really increasing and gaining attention. So I've really interested in what this will play out and how artificial intelligence is powering it. So I'm really interested in what does it mean for us as a society? How do we relate as humans to it? And what ethical implications does it have? So as I said, for my theology study, I'm doing a master thesis research project, and I'm researching the ethical implication of synthetic media. Well, before we go any further, maybe it's a good time now to define synthetic media, at least the way I see it. Most people will know synthetic media by the name deepfakes. However, I don't like that name because it has a wrong connotation associated to it, especially because all you read about deepfakes is really the bad things, right? People suffering from non-consensual porn and stuff like that. But in its bare bones, deepfakes is similar to synthetic media, only it has a malicious intent. So what is synthetic media? Well, I think synthetic media is any kind of media, being video, audio, or even text, that is synthetically generated using an artificial intelligence algorithm. And if you deploy it, let's say, in a good way, it goes by the name synthetic media, it's kind of neutral. And if you have mal intent or malicious intent, I would say that the name would be a deep fake. So in my research, I'm looking to deep fakes predominantly because that has the most ethical implications. And I'm really interested how, let's say, what is the new reality that this is creating and what ethical values that we go by around reality, about truth. Does it, let's say, harm? And how should we as a society go about it? And the interesting thing is it really addresses some core principles of how we go about as a society. Because if I talk to you, Henrik, what you say, I assume by default it is true. But what if we enter up in an era where everything can be fabricated and I have to question and doubt everything, right? So how does it work for us psychologically, ethically, etc.? So that's what I'm researching. And I think this is going to be a very big thing for the coming 10 years because it is expected that the amount of synthetic media is going to increase exponentially. I've read a statement by one of the CEOs of a synthetic media company that in 2030, so 7 years from now, 90%, so that's 90% of all media that's being created and modified is going to be synthetically modified. So we're going to be inundated with synthetic media over the coming years. In addition to that, you can see that it's much easier, right, to make a synthetic medium. Really professional looking deepfake video is still hard. You need an actor and you need good software and you need a big computing power. But we all know these apps on our telephone like Reface or Wembo. So a pretty, let's say, easy deepfake is already doable on a smartphone. It is expected that real-time, real-life video deepfakes are going to be created using your smartphone maybe 5 to 7 years from now. So it's going to have a big impact on us.
Jack, What are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with synthetic media?
The biggest successes are yet to come because it's a new field. The name deepfake and name synthetic media was coined around 2017, where first in a Reddit group, somebody created a video and swapped a face with someone. So what we see now, if you define success as high viewers, then the majority of use cases is in this case in non-consensual porn, and that has a lot of problems associated to it. So that's very problematic, right? If you leave that aside for a minute, the second use case is more about meme creation, right? It's a lot of videos are created to make fun of somebody or to poke somebody. Those are at this moment the interesting use case. So it's for entertainment purposes. What is expected, where the big successes are going to be expected, is, let's say, what you'll have now is you'll have visual effects capabilities that used to be in Hollywood 5 years ago, now at your fingertips, right? So you can have it available to you, and anyone can create a video with big successes. So imagine you're a company and you want to create a training video in multiple languages, right? For instance, English, Spanish, and in Dutch, because I'm from Holland, so we do it in Dutch as well. So normally you would have to hire a native speaker for each language, and then you have to record it each and every time. Now with synthetic media, you can create it one time and deploy it in many languages. There's, for instance, a video with the football player David Beckham, that's soccer, by the way, in American, who's speaking Chinese, he's speaking Portuguese and English in one video. And it all looks very natural and seamless. So he doesn't speak those languages, but it's synthetically generated. So I see in entertainment, advertising, creative parts that it's going to be a huge success. The biggest challenge, though, is, of course, that it gives a lot of power to people. And, well, you can say there is a lot of potential to destabilize it or to use it in fraudulent ways. There has been, for instance, a use case a couple of years ago where a CEO of a company was phoned by his CFO, his chief financial officer, saying, "Yeah, well, you have to wire some money to this and this account in this foreign country," because this voice looked sounded familiar. The CFO just simply wired the money, and afterward, it was a scam because they had used the voice of this CFO or the CEO, and they kind of make him say something he didn't intend to say. So there's a lot of problems with non-consensual use. And if we go back to my previous statement where I said the largest use case is non-consensual porn, there's a report by Sensity AI, that's a deepfake research company here in Amsterdam, that 96% of all the internet use cases of deepfakes in the year 2019 was around non-consensual porn. So from an ethical, a legal perspective, you can see there's a lot of problems associated with it if you use someone's face and they did not consent to it. And problems not only are ethical and legal, but also psychological and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of fear that this technique is going to, let's say, create videos and let people say things that they haven't said or haven't done at all. And what people fear the most, and people is mainstream media, but also philosophers and ethicists, is that kind of the perception of reality, so how we go about reality, is going to change from, let's say, a trust default. By default, I trust what I see, what I hear, what I read, to more, let's say, what they call hermeneutics of suspicion. Or let's say we are kind of suspective, we're susceptible, we don't trust any of the video or audio we are hearing by default. And if that's going to be the case, that's going to be having huge impact on our society. It's going to have huge impact on the way we deal with each other. However, I'm not that pessimistic because I think as a human species, we already have adapted to our tools of the last millennia. So I think there will be a mode in which we also have to wear, also have to work out how to deal with deep fakes. But bottom line, in sum, there are big benefits, especially in creator professions, in creator environments, but there are also huge risks expected. And I say deliberately expected because a lot of fear is still fear and has not yet materialized. For my research, I'm conducting research to the political use of deep fakes. And for me, it was very hard to come up with good use cases. And the use cases you'll see, they're all labeled as deepfake. They're not made with malicious intent. And last week, actually here in the Netherlands, a couple of journalists created a deepfake for where they deepfaked our prime minister, Mark Rutte. And they let him say, well, we have to accelerate our legislation around the climate crisis. And this was more or less to ask attention and raise awareness to the climate crisis and the summit in Glasgow.
And Jack, what advice would you like to share with people working on synthetic media?
Well, that's a good question. It depends how you define working. So let's say if you are a creator, right? Because that's the first group that comes to my mind. I would say you have to be ethical, right? It has to be in your DNA if you work with these kind of tools. Spider-Man said, with a lot of power, there's a lot of responsibility, right? If you have and you work with these tools that alter reality, you have the responsibility to deploy it in an ethical, sound manner. So what does that entail? I would say, if you are, let's say, a creator, you cannot use it in a non-consensual way. If you want to reenact a person, right, you have to ask for consent. That should be a rule. It's a default privacy rule, but I think that's going to be a big thing. You have to be ethical. And if you use at the platforms, like for instance, Synthesia or ReSpeecher, they all have big ethical pages on their website. And they all say, you can deploy our tools, but only in an ethical manner. So we never, for instance, do non-consensual reenactment, or we never want to use it for any malpurpose way. Of course, this comes with challenges and who defines what is ethical, but that's, let's say, the advice I would have. So you have to be aware of the implications and consequences this technology has. Second, if we define, let's say, people working with synthetic media also as people on the receiving end, right? Us as a consumer or as a watcher of YouTube video, we have to kind of increase in media literacy ourselves. There is a responsibility that we cannot simply take for granted what we see is real, right? So we have to kind of not be pessimistic or suspicious, but we have to be sure, okay, where is the source? Where does this come from? Is this real, right? So we have to come up with a mindset where the possibility is increasing that we are dealing with a deep fake or with synthetic media, right? So it's going to be a part of our life, whether we like it or not. So we have to prepare ourselves for that. So that's the other part, I would say, right? So people working with synthetic media, they have to be ethical. People who receive it have to be aware. And there are all kind of, let's say, ways to get there, but that's in a nutshell what I would advise people.
Jack, where can we learn more about synthetic media and your work on the subject?
My research is around synthetic media or deepfakes and extreme beliefs like conspiracy theories. So it's part of a big research program. It's called Extreme Beliefs, and people can learn more on our website, which is extremebeliefs.com. So it will be published there. I'm also publishing on my Twitter handle, which is @Esselinj, Esselinj, but probably you'll set it in the show notes of this podcast. So that's where you can find my work. A good primer on synthetic media would be a book by Nina Schick, which is called Deepfakes and the Upcoming Infocalypse. It's not only about deepfakes, but it really, let's say, puts it in a broader perspective and lets you see what deepfakes is. Another good video is from the TV show 60 Minutes, and they explain in 15 minutes what deepfake, what synthetic media is, what are the challenges, what are the benefits. So as a primer, that would be good. And I think that we can link to that in the show notes as well. But if you want to read more, I would really recommend Nina's book. But if you find, search for Nina Schick, that's S-C-H-I-C-K, you can find a flurry of podcasts and appearances of her. So that would be my advice.
Join us next week for a new episode by subscribing to the Synthetic Media Podcast. Check out my book about synthetic media on Amazon. Follow us on syntheticmediapodcast.com. This podcast was produced by Henrik de Gior. Music by Mattia Capelli. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a 5-star review. And thank you for listening.